with certified financial planner Dave Pezzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Pezzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Pezzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Pezzo Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Pezzo.
Hello and good morning. You know, I love a dull market, really. And I know people say, well, that's because then, you know, the phones aren't ringing off the hook. It's like you're semi-retired. You don't really have to do anything. And the answer is really no. It's easier than when the market's tanking, for sure. But it's not that there isn't stuff to do. And it's not that we don't absolutely love what we do. So if it's busier, it's sometimes, some ways it's more fun, right? It is. It's exciting. But I when you have a dull market like this, And it's just, it's so funny watching the people try to make up news or whine about the fact that there's not a lot of trading opportunities out there. It's a trendless market and so on and so forth. But for me, bottom line, this is a market resting. This is a market catching up. This is marking time. And it's better than going down to mark time, I think. It's not as many bargains created in this environment. I totally get that. I wish we would once in a while have a little washout and you could put some more money to work. But it's not that it's a bad thing to have the market kind of dull. It's a positive thing. It's resting. It's resting. It's resting. So when we see everybody running around fussing and worrying, they're making stuff up. They always do make stuff up. And I know you want to be plugged in and wired in. And I'm sure you think that you've got your great sources. And you're wired to make sure you can skirt through the exaggerations and work through the fact that the guy telling you what oil prices are going to do hasn't been right for the last 12 moves in oil. Because you remember that's the guy that hasn't really been right. And so now we gather certainty or whether we should, you know, buy or sell energy companies. Is so much noise. And when it's dull, they work a little harder to work hard to make stuff up. Really do. But what it does when it's dull like this, I have an opportunity. I take the opportunity, I should say, and go and really try to think things through in a longer time frame. Right? I go back to the basics. You know, kind of where I started. And it's funny how you go back through and you remember how John Templeton, how much of an influence he still is, was for me. The whole thought process of long-term investing. Not running around with your hair on fire. I mean, just even watching that guy on TV. It's just always just like, whoa, you're always at peace. Always at peace. Not anymore. We have to buy, sell, and it's this crazy stuff all the time. It's screaming and yelling to get our attention. Who are the great investors? People with their hair on fire? Or people who are at peace? Really? And so we really do have to work at what are our inputs? What are we listening to? What are we reading? What are we believing? What is our bias? What are those are the questions I want to ask myself when we have a moment to breathe, right? Yeah, I'm looking at this old mutual fund, and I'm going to tell you which one it is, because then I've got all the disclosure nonsense that absolutely ruins everybody's day. Don't you love bureaucrats? Wow, what a job. I'm here to make your life more difficult. Well, I think those people need retirement really early. All right, so this one goes all the way back to right after the Depression, okay? And you pull out the chart, and I've talked about this before, but it's kind of cool because, you know, $10,000 grows to millions, tens of millions. Actually, it's over 100 million now, but that's not the point. That's a big deal. It's a really big deal. The point is during that entire time, we've had problems, major problems. We've had wars. Multiple recessions wiped out stock market values, you know, 20% multiple times, more than 30%. I think three different times it's been a 50% correction. And yeah, it's a correction because it rips back to all-time highs. In other words, in this whole time frame of taking $10,000 to $100 million, which is really a very good rate of return, really good. It's like 12%. You take that during that time, but several times its price declined. And we forget that. We really do forget that. Because what we do is we see this big chart. Yeah, it's sitting in front of me. It's a big chart, right? You know, so from the left side, you have it, and it kind of squiggles on up. Big. Big, 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 big gains. And we all say, wow, I want that with my investment plan. But aren't you a little worried about the Shimada and blood moons? Aren't you a little worried about the deficit? Aren't you a little worried about Obamacare? Aren't you a little worried about fill in the blank? You know, all you have to do, just pull out the newspaper, you can start chiming in. Or pull up, you know, Yahoo Finance. You can chime in all the stuff you should worry about. Isn't that what we do? I want that, but aren't you worried about, and you can just name one for all these years, we just forget how difficult it was in the 1970s. I know I even personally forget how hard it was to start my career in Boise, Idaho in 1980. It was horrible. Absolutely, horribly hard. And that continued for quite some time, as it really didn't get better in Boise, Idaho for a long time, did it? After the 70s. But that's ancient history, so nobody even thinks about it. Because once we solve that problem, all we do is fixate on the next one. Or the unknown one. We worry about the unknown. The known terrible that we resolved carries no emotional attachment. Oh, so we don't really see it for how great a problem solvers we are. And how this little thing that seems so big is going to go away and be replaced by the next really big problem. And we don't ever stop to go, well, if I want the big chart, if I want that, I have to play now. There's always something here. I mentioned the 70s and how hard that was. Yeah, footnote. Jimmy Carter. Yeah. Richard Nixon. Yeah. Riots in the street in the 60s. Yeah. Yeah. Not big deal. Hiding our heads under the desk when we were children in an air raid drill against nuclear annihilation. Yeah, no biggie. Yeah. Cuban Missile Crisis? Oh, stop it. What are you fussing about? Presidential assassinations? Come on. That's done. What I'm really worried about are blood moons, man. Really? You talk about making stuff up. I just don't understand. Life is hard enough, don't you think? Really, I mean, stuff happens. People you love die. Relationships break up. Your kids are struggling. Your grandkids are struggling to grow up. Who knows, right? But it isn't easy. It's not a cakewalk. People get sick. People lose jobs. Real stuff happens. We have to make up stuff to worry about? It baffles me. And the reason I like to pull this out is not just to look at this wonderful chart, but to contemplate, really contemplate, what we've been through. What the world's been through. How during this entire time, how many nut jobs were in the world? I mean, really big nut jobs. Hitler, Stalin, Lenin. Holy cow. I mean, it's just something when you think about that. But we went really from really low over here to really high over here. Like all charts of all reasonable time frames do. And we got a few nut jobs in the world today. Like we always do. Always have. I suspect we always will. There is evil in the world. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. And yet when we look at what happens when we overly contemplate the mark, right? Like, yeah, why do we do this? We have to stop and we have to go back to our roots, don't we? We really got to. Why? Because we're drawn to the present noise. Always. You see, if you had stayed invested just the last 20 years, I know for most people it's like 20 years, 30 years, post-depression, World War II. What are you talking about? Who cares? What I want to know is what's going to happen next week. Well, you're listening to the wrong program because I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going to happen in any time frame. I can tell you over long periods of time during your entire life, your parents' lives, your grandparents' lives, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter how uncertain it is, because it's always uncertain. That's a weird thing. You can mark this down. You know what's really the most uncertain thing in the whole wide world? The future. We don't know what it's going to do. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Nobody does. Absolutely nobody. And sitting around and contemplating the little squiggle and the big squiggle, the 5-minute average crossing over the 30-day average into some kind of a death cross thing is absolutely bizarre to me. We're talking about corporations, businesses, but we're going to trade businesses back and forth based on squiggle patterns. Absolutely nutty to me. So I have to draw back to the basics, and I go, wow,
we're going to find some resistance at 21:25 today.
We are? Why? Well, what is 21:25? Well, 2125 is, you know, let's say it's the S&P, and that's the measurement of basically the 70 biggest stocks that trade in the U.S. as if they're squigglies. I mean, they're just little squiggle numbers. They're not real businesses, these things aren't. So they run into certain resistance thingies out there. Phantom resistance, I guess. And so you have to go back and you say, wow, I don't know what the future is, but here's what happened just in the last 20 years. If you were fully invested, you made 9.85%, right around 10. Isn't that weird? It's always right around 10, isn't it? But if you missed the 10 best days, just 10, 10 during an entire 20-year period, I mean, wow, that's not a lot. Your returns drop to 6%. Literally, drop to 6%. And if you miss 40 best days, just the 40 best, out of thousands of days, thousands, you had a negative return. I mean, we look, oh, yeah, well, you know, hey, huh? I mean, I'm most of the time in the market. You have to remember, right? You have to remember. Teach ourselves. Talk about it. Think about it. All of the time. How do I stay in when it's hard? How do I buy in when it's hard? What am I worried about? Is it really a real worry? Making stuff up? Probably. We do that. We do that. I love to go back and go back with you. You know, I talk about this all the time, about the opportunity to do this, and it is a really a big privilege. I know Kevin Miller and I talk about it a lot. What a privilege it is to get a chance to be on the radio. It really is. And the thing that it also does, too, is that I have to go back and look at the basics all the time. I get to go back and ground myself and think about the things that John Templeton said over his amazing career. To think about the things that Warren Buffett says about investing. He doesn't always follow those things he says, but man, does he have some smart stuff to talk about. Like buying businesses as if they're buying the whole business, not a piece to be traded. So much noise, and it is noise out there, to get our minds to focus. So much fog, so difficult. But it's an easy game when you really take a step back and think about it. The returns over any reasonable amount of time have been consistent and large. Larger than anything else. Larger than anything else by so far. It's not even close. And you are able every day to pass on the opportunity to buy or sell, wait for your bargains, and hold for the long term. That's the hard part for people. Nothing like it. And from an income perspective, we've talked about it many times, and we'll keep talking about it. Nothing is as consistent. Consistent in delivering real inflation-adjusted income.
You're listening to the 5 minutes.
Forever. Stunning. It's stunning in its consistency for income, but we focus on price movement all the time. All right, I got to get out of this segment. We're going to be back to basics. What speaks to you? How do you ground yourself? What do you do to ground yourself, to not get caught up in some, you know, conspiracy theory or overly concerned, like, maybe I should go to cash, maybe I need to take some out. How do you stay in the game? How do you keep from missing those best days? How do you do that? Do you have a trick that you do? We'd like to hear from you. Love to hear from you. You can go two ways. I don't care what you want to talk about. We need phone calls, right? It's Memorial Day weekend. a little bit slower out there. A few people have headed to the mountains. So those of you who are here and listening, please do give us a call at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, or it's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-IDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I hope you have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. I know, I these days always do. They always, as they should. These weekends do. You know, it's just a quiet reminder to remember those that came before us. And we are so stunningly fortunate, blessed, to be in the wealthiest. Kings didn't live like we lived. We live today. Kings, 100 years ago. It's just amazing. And now it's, you work hard, whatever. You don't work hard. You know who worked hard? My grandpa worked hard. My grandma worked hard. My dad worked hard. Had a kid, got through school in 3 years. It's a different kind of pressure. Whatever. That's us making excuses, right? I mean, people that came before us, they worked hard. Really hard. My great-grandfather went down the coal mines, right? I mean, that's back when everybody died of black lung. And you have the same story all through your family because that's what they did, all to make our life better. They fought wars to keep our freedom. It's amazing. It's just amazing what they did. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Jim. Jim, it's good to talk to you. How are you doing today?
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Good. Great.
Yeah, in regard to the market, you kept using the word dull, but you never used the word stable. Now, I would hope that dull means stable and people like stability.
Yeah, right now it is very stable and dull. Yes, it's just not moving around a lot, right? It's just not. It's not.
Right.
That's good.
I mean, but, you know. It's exciting when it goes up, but it's not when it goes down, and so, you know.
Now, Jim, I thought of you, and I'm surprised to hear you say that, because I was thinking of you when I said, I like opportunities to buy. And
true,
when the market
true.
Goes down, that's how I get them.
True, but right now I don't have cash to buy, so it's great, you know. So if it can stay, you know, go up and stay up. But in my humble opinion, you know, in my opinion, I think it's overpriced, but you know, whatever, you know. I mean, if you've already got stock, hunky-dory, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So this is my rule when somebody says that, okay? It's overpriced. You have to say why. So why? Why do you think
it's
overpriced?
I don't know. Just whatever. Well, you go back to things like, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, and you were talking about work. It's not work. You just, you know, your money's working, you know. There, you know, and the old expression, there's something wrong with this picture, you know.
Right. You're feeling guilty because you're making money and you're not working. Is that
right.
What you're saying?
To some extent, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, the reason I say that, you know, why is because, you know, ages ago, why I was putting people on the hook because I heard all the time the market was too high. What goes up must come down and all those, you know, cliches that we talk about.
Uh-huh.
As if I'm not looking at a real chart over the last, you know, 80 years that sits in front of me right here, right?
Right.
That's real. That's what happened. And it does pull back at times, but it relentlessly moves higher. Why? Because human beings relentlessly move higher.
Oh, yeah.
Society is more abundant, and that is reflected in more abundant corporations that pay more abundant dividends than they ever did before. You know, and so simply stated, you know, I kind of make fun of it this way by saying, I don't know how the market can be this high when you have record cash flows, the best balance sheets in all of history, record dividend payouts, record profits. I'm just confused why the market would be at all-time highs.
Well, you know, the thing is, if you've already got stocks and they've gone up,
mm-hmm.
and you invest today and it goes down a little bit, you've lost on that stock, but you've got a lot of gains elsewhere.
Right.
So, you know, and like you say, over the long run, it's going to go up.
That's right. The best time to buy always has been when you have money. Right? I mean, it just
right.
is. You can't guess when those dips are going to be, so stop doing that. But there isn't anything wrong, as we've discussed before, of letting some of those dividends that come in just pile up in cash so that when we do have a dip, you do have an opportunity. The thing is that most people, once we have a 5% dip, then everything looks like, oh, my gosh, and then you quickly turn on the TV so you can get some data points, right? You want to get some data because you're not really getting any information. You're certainly not getting any wisdom as they all run around with their hair on fire telling you what? The correction is going to get worse.
Yep.
So before the correction started, you would happily say, if I got a 5% dip, that means, and by the way, you know what that means? That means some stocks are going to be down even as much as 20%.
Yep. You know, you mentioned the 70s. And I'm glad, you know, I did, well, for one thing, I didn't have any money to invest in, and I wasn't into investing. You know, I was out living life. And, you know, things were exciting.
You probably don't even remember the 70s. Most of us don't.
Yeah. Well, I graduated college in 68, went to California in 69, was in Berkeley, you know, the riots and everything, kind of exciting. And then the 70s and stuff. But like you were talking, you know, we don't work. Our parents work.
Yep.
And so most of what I've got, you know, was given to me by my father, you know. And so I figure now it's up to me to manage his money. So
right, right. Yeah, I think we do. I really admire as I think about and reflect upon it. And I guess it's just I don't think I'm that different. I know I am in some sense that I keep pictures of my ancestors. I mean, not just my immediate ancestors, but back because I just, I don't know. I like old pictures too, but they, it reminds me. It reminds me of how difficult things were.
Yep. I mean, they grew up through the Depression and wars and stuff, and they worked really hard. And our mores have changed considerably. I mean, let's face it, we have gotten lazy in this country.
Absolutely.
And so, whatever.
Yep. No doubt.
I'm a capitalist and a money investor now, so.
That's right. You just go ahead and you just take your guilty pleasure in making money in the stock market, okay?
I guess so.
All right. Well, Jim, thank you.
Anyway, well, take care and have a great
rest
of the show.
Thank you.
And weekend.
Have a great weekend and good Memorial Day. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Going back to basics this Memorial Day weekend, thinking about all of the issues and how trying to put it in a perspective that we can deal with today, meaning knowing where we've been, knowing what came before us, helps us to have the context to not sit around and fuss over things that don't deserve being fussed about. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's also, if you prefer, email. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. And we're going to be right back after this Fox News break.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Petso on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Come on, Dell, you just were right there, and then you went bye-bye. So I assume you had to rush off. Do give us a call back. That does clear the board, though. So for those of you out there listening, would love to visit with you. Do give us a call at 580-5436. And once again, if you prefer email, that's dave@petsofinancial.net. All right, so I see somebody's ringing in now. We'll just I did have one other quick thing I wanted to touch on and let you know. In the second hour, during our education segment, I'm going to talk about income, but I'm going to talk about it from this perspective. I was asked this comment last week from a caller about utility stocks, and we just really didn't have time to talk about it. But I'm going to talk about utility stocks as an investment. But also, it's an important point as we tie in and think about what are we really looking for in our income, okay? Right? It's not just, you know, the highest possible income. With that, I'll leave it at that. That's not safe income. That's not. So we want to be thinking about what we're looking for when we find companies. So I'll talk about that in second hour in our education segment. Right now, let's go to the phone. Let's go to Dale in Mountain Home. Dale.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, you know, it's all fine and good to be an investor. And we need investors. I'm not saying that. But we need a lot more people who want to be entrepreneurs and get out and make it, do some production. I mean, it's, to me, investing, and, you know, that fellow you were talking to a little bit ago, he was talking about how lazy we are.
Right.
And that's what we need is more places to invest.
I totally agree with you, and I think there's absolutely. But no, don't get me wrong. When we talk about the noise of the market, remember, the core of what it is it is a place where people can raise capital to expand businesses, start businesses, take on whole new lines of business. It has morphed in my mind into this big news media hype where people don't recognize the idea that they are actually just buying businesses or pieces of businesses. Now, that also has led people out, and we've seen this huge, I mean, absolutely enormous rise in private capital, right? That's where we're seeing the prices of Uber and things like that, right? That people are just like, they're so high. That's where the private equity is. And that's actually, those are all startup businesses, right? I mean, that's where that capital is.
Absolutely. And just straight investing to me is lazy. I guess you know.
Well, it certainly isn't physical labor, okay? Good investing takes a little bit of work in that you are hopefully disciplined enough to be watching and learning about your investments, maybe not, and hopefully watching the right things, because most people think just sitting there looking and then guessing which direction things are going to go is somehow monitoring their investments. But I get your point. We do need lots of entrepreneurs, and my firm belief, and I don't know if you've listened to Kevin and I talk, but we've talked about this so many times for the past actually several years now, about the fact that I believe that once we get a change of leadership in this country, we are going to have an entrepreneurial renaissance in this country. Right now is such an anti-business rhetoric. Of hey, if you didn't make that, you didn't do that, entrepreneur, and so we're going to tax you in a 50% tax bracket if you are one of the, how did he put it here recently, one of the lucky lottery winners in our country. It's like, really, that's not the lottery. That's not the lottery, is to start a business and run it. It's not. But anyway, you get my point. I think there's this anti-business climate, and it tampers that down, and the idea of success. And so I think we could have a real renaissance there, and I appreciate that's what you're saying.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dale. I appreciate your call very much. Have a great day and a great Memorial Day. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-543-6, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Our board is clear, which is your signal to give us a call, and we'll be right back after this.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number. We're going back to basics. You know, we're talking about how to think, you know, to go back and remember that like it's Memorial Day, right? So to go back and to think about all of the times in the past where it really was, I mean, this really was difficult, actually more so than today. Why? Because it gives us a point of reflection to understand that maybe it isn't all bad at all. And to diminish the past as if it was some kind of historic footnote and not fully understand and appreciate that over long periods of time, the market has always done well. Always. Always. And so we ask the wrong question all the time, right? It's like, what is the market going to do? You know, I agree the stock market's a great place to be, but... And then we worry about things, weird things sometimes. We go from one weird thing to another. You know, last year the U.S. dollar was going to collapse in some weird house bill. I know it's on the internet, so it should be believed, but that didn't happen. And I'm not sure we're going to be nailed by the blood moon shimada thing either. And I got to be really careful with that shimada word when you're talking about it. I'm looking at this old paper, and it just is so awesome. It's so nice. I got a group of guys that we've gotten together every Monday for, I think must be approaching like 20 years. So, and it's a pretty cool thing. But anyway, one of them, John, thanks, John, gave me this a long time ago. It was just an old USA Today that he came across, and you know, kind of yellowed, the way it's cool to see an old newspaper, right? You know, yellowed with a little bit of time. But this isn't old. I mean, it was 1988. And so, it's just funny looking at it, you know, not just the strange hair and clothes and stuff, but really this is the money section that he grabbed for me. And the thing is here, it's to see this, that's what I mean. It's the same thing, right? The key to the rally. Okay, this is it. This is because you open up the paper, that's what it'll say this weekend, right? Somewhere like in the journal be, the key, the new key to this is going to be what the Fed does or where interest rates are or some arbitrary number. And yes, it's arbitrary, by the way. It totally is. Because the key to the rally then was the Dow staying above 2,000. Now, we kind of giggle about that, like, stay above 2,000. That's really cute. Isn't that cute? We're going to stay right there at 2,000 because they're just barely above it in 1988. And we look at that. We just kind of like, yeah, that's, wow, that's good. That's cool. You know, it's kind of interesting looking back. And then you have your headlines about, you know, Gillette isn't going to sell. Are they going to sell? All these things that are just kind of interesting because we know what happened already. And then we just dismiss it. And we don't really think about that the Dow has moved from 2,000 to over 18,000. In spite of, you ready for this? 2 50% corrections. Two. But here's what we ask. Don't we? Right? This is what we ask. But what do you think is going to happen in the market? Do you think it's too high? Don't you think, right? Right? The leading questions, right? Don't you think that we're too high? Don't you think that the Fed's gone too far? Don't you think that it's phony because they're printing money? Don't you think ISIS is going to be a problem? Don't you think the president is anti-business? Don't you think he's really trying to destroy the country? Don't you think Obamacare is just about to really hit us? I got all that. I think that. That's what we think. And we don't invest in stuff that does this. And then as I started off talking today with the big chart, of all the time why we shouldn't do what we know we should do. Buy the best investment. Nothing's come close. Put it away and build a real retirement, a real, if you will, security. We worry and we fuss, and we're so connected now, we have a chance to do it times 10, don't we? And that's why I love to go back and think about these things and to look at where we've been. And part of that is, I guess, is I've been around for a while now, while enough to say, gee whiz, I've been doing this for 35 years. I mean, really paying attention to stuff for 35 years. And it's often the same stuff. We just recycle it in a different way, and we fuss about it more because, as we all know, we have data times 10 at our fingertips. It's too much. It's too much. Too much we're putting in. And we actually think it makes us smarter, not handicapped. All right, we're going to talk about utility stocks. We're going to talk about income and retirement in our education segment after Fox.
And Idaho is back. The Idaho Lottery presents the Boise Music Festival, Saturday, June 27th at Expo Idaho. Enjoy a day packed with live music and fun in the sun. Check out local vendors and a kids' play area and tons of food choices. Plus, the Paradise Amusement Carnival. Get your unlimited rides wristband in advance at BoiseMusicFestival.com. This year, the Commercial Tire Main Stage welcomes Nick Jonas, Red Foo from LMFAO, the Ting Tings, Gloriana, the Plain White Tees, Shaggy, and Rob Thomas. Save on advance tickets at BoiseMusicFestival.com.
The Idaho Lottery presents the Boise Music Festival, Saturday, June 27th at Expo Idaho. Brought to you by Carl's Jr., U.S. Air Force, City of Boise.
Hello and welcome to hour number two of Money Matters. I'm Dave Pezzo, and these are my opinions only. They're not the station, they're not the broker-dealer. And I know some of this stuff is like blah, 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 blah. But it is important to understand this. I don't know what your portfolio is. And when we use an example, whether it's utility stocks, which I'm going to talk about in a moment, and I'm going to contrast that against great dividend growth stories. And I've talked about, you know, Procter & Gamble multiple times, about a growth of income story. That doesn't mean you should own them. We're not here to tell you what to buy, 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 and sell, sell, sell. In fact, if you want to call that, I'm the anti-buy, buy, buy, sell, sell, sell guy. That's absolute noise. It's not entertainment. I know he says, I'm here to entertain and educate you. No, he's not. He's here to confuse you. So you have no idea what you should be doing. It's flat dangerous. Most of the inputs we have. We're here to talk about bigger picture things and to hopefully remind ourselves what you already know you should be doing is investing as a long-term investor, sitting on your hands, not believing in buying products that promise you stock market returns with no risk. We'll give you 18%, or is it 15, or do I hear 20, 25? Okay, I'm going to buy that product because that's got the highest first-year promise. As if they're not going to suck it away from you every year as they trap you into 10, 12, 15-year, monumentally large surrender periods. Products that are complete lies. You know you shouldn't buy them. Your grandma knew that, and she didn't even get out of high school, did she? And she already knew, because she already knew what's too good to be true isn't. It's not true. And you see, the thing is there, when we talk about these things and understand them, and we understand, hey, you know what, there's risk in investing, but it's not terminal risk. Markets come back. What's terminal risk is when you put money in a product that won't work, you change your mind later, and they whack you for 10, 15, or 20%. That's a big-time problem. Or you put your money into a product because you're scared. So scared. It's all scary. Everything's scary. Because all news is negative. It's all scary all the time. All the time. And you put it in to something that guarantees something, and you miss. The market gains. That's a problem. It all is. So we're here to try to, you know, to help each other, to grow together. We really are. And I want to, in our education, say, if you have an idea, stuff you want to talk about, please do shoot that over, okay? And Beverly, thank you for calling in. Just hang tough with me here, okay? I'll be right with you. But we want to get through this education segment. All right, what we're really talking about, when we, this goes back to actually a call last week, right, about income and safe stocks, right? Like, I just want to get some, like, utilities as you get older, utility stocks. And, you know, some of this is legacy stuff, right? It's what Grandpa did. And it worked out pretty good because utilities used to grow. They don't anymore. Right? They don't. Now, we can go into the whole legacy or litany of problems here. Because I see massive problems in the utility sector. You and I producing power at our own homes. That's just around the corner. There's no doubt about that. The regulatory issues of coal or whatever it is. Huge transmission lines. And the upkeep of those. Those are all massive problems. They certainly don't look like good outcomes for the utilities. That's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the perception that a high dividend or a higher dividend is a good thing than a low dividend. Utilities, the fundamental problem with utilities is they pay out most, all of their profits in dividends. They don't retain much to grow, to pay down debt, what have you. That's not safe, because when things go wrong and a company is paying out most or all of their profits, then dividends get cut. They certainly don't get raised. So there's really a couple of things I want to delve into here, and that is this. As we look over the last, you know, since the market lows, utilities, as expected, high dividend payers, grew far less than the overall S&P did. Far less. As they usually do. But most importantly, have they been raising dividends? No. So when we talk about, and the caller had called in, and I appreciate it very much, we're not making fun. I hope nobody takes it that way at all. Talked about Idaho Power. So how have Idaho Power's dividends been, say, over the last 20 years? Well, net-net, like with one tiny increase and a huge slashing of the dividend, they've actually decreased their dividends. Decreased. In an inflationary world, this is not an investment I want. I don't. I do not want that. I want an increasing dividend, even if it starts out lower. So as we talk about things like a Procter & Gamble that paid 1 cent per share per quarter in 1970. Why do I pick 1970? Well, because that's how far Yahoo Finance goes back. When I push the button for historic prices, and then it pushes the little dot that says dividends only, that's how far it goes back to 1970. By the way, they were paying dividends before that, and the company has, of course, been around a lot longer than that. but that's far enough to get the picture, right? And they paid this past year 66 and a quarter cents per share per quarter. A 66-fold increase. Now, I didn't talk about price, but here's what I promise you. First of all, during that time frame, they literally did raise the dividends every single year. They have for 56 years in a row. Sixty-six-fold increase in income is a lot better than starting off with a higher income that doesn't rise. Now, Dave, you're cherry-picking a great company. That's not fair. Okay, that's fair. That's a really fair assessment. My point being, I am cherry-picking. And why do I cherry-pick that one? Not because it's the fastest increaser. They make soap. It's not hard to understand. Tide and diapers, that's not hard. That's not hard stuff. That's not rocket science. That's not, yeah, well, it's a big deal. That's like Microsoft. No, that's not like Microsoft. It's not a one in a zillion thing. It is one in a zillion thing to sell anything decade after decade after decade after decade and make more and more money with it. That's a well-run company. That's a machine. But we're talking about income. So what is it safer to buy a utility that really can't increase their dividends because they don't have any excess? They're paying everything out. So what we're really looking for on this are companies that are still reinvesting a great deal of their profits back into their business in order to drive higher profits in the future, in order to pay me more. That's a safer income, even though we often think of it as a more growth story. I completely disagree. I think that this legacy idea of, well, we're always going to turn on the lights, yeah, and watch our dividends get cut. Because they're not growth vehicles. And if you pay all the income out, you have no margin of safety. None. I don't think that high dividend payers are safe at all. The market tells you they're not. And when we go to the more extremes, like if we're looking at MLPs and master limited partnerships, things like that, where in pipelines that maybe pay out all of the income, but it's paying 10%. It's paying 10 because the market says it has no chance of continuing that dividend. That's what it's screaming. Now, can you never buy things like that? Of course not. No. You can if you can identify what your risk is. And you've really done a lot of homework to understand that you think they're going to continue it, and that the market's wrong. But to just buy high yield, I promise you this. Buying the highest yield will yield the worst results. Period. If you can define it, because there are going to be a few winners in there, very few, but a few, of the high yielders are mispriced. They're priced for Armageddon, and it's not coming, maybe, for them. Don't buy yield. Buy growth of income, where you have a margin of safety. Now, that's often called the payout ratio. That's part of it. And that's not the all. This is not the end-all, be-all, okay? But what you really want to see are companies that are paying out less than half of their profits in the form of a dividend, because they're keeping the rest to grow. And if you think, for example, that companies that don't pay a dividend grow faster, you're wrong. That's a different segment, but I wanted to go ahead and throw that out. We've talked about that before. The best returns come from, and I'm talking overall returns, income returns, ultimate income, however you want to phrase it. That's why we buy things, right? We buy things for their ultimate income. That's why you buy a building. Well, I like that real estate. You know why you like real estate? Because it doesn't move in price. Nobody's running around with their hair on fire wondering if the North End housing prices are going to be up or down in the next week. Nobody. Nobody does that. Absolutely nobody. But everybody's running around when it comes to whether it's a publicly traded REIT, any stock of any kind, running around with their hair on fire wondering if the market's too high. Seriously. That's why. It's all about price. I want to focus on income. And if we focus on income and income only, we can create stories that our income grows way faster than the rate of inflation. On a historic basis, I do not know the future, but it's happened 100% of the time in the past. That over time, the great corporations of the world have raised dividends three times the rate of inflation. Three times faster. See, if you go into retirement and you're barely getting by, you're only a little bit of inflation away from you're not getting by anymore. We have to have growth of income. We must. Faster than the rate of inflation. And the best companies for doing that are those that historically have paid dividends, but they're retaining most of their earnings for continued growth. We have a margin of safety for when times get really tough. And times always get tough for companies. Always. Always do. There's always a tough time. They could have made a bad decision to invest in a new plant. It could be overall the economy is just terrible, like 2008 and 9. There are always going to be problems. That's why we diversify, right? Always. And whenever we focus on only something like a utility, we've always got to turn the lights on. You're right. I will power my house. The question is, will it be Idaho Power? Will it be Idaho Power in some combination of a solar panel on top of my house? But some kind of battery. I don't know. I don't know. But when we always look at that, it's the same thing as the Albertsons story. Well, you got to buy food. But you don't have to buy it at Albertsons or Winco or whatever. We get married to what has worked so tightly that we sometimes get underinvested. Growth of income is the key, not the highest income, nor, I will argue, what we perceive to be the safest income. I don't think that they necessarily, if you're paying out all of your profits, or nearly all, I don't consider that safe at all. There is no margin of safety. So be careful out there. And income is the great misleader. I want to leave you with this thought too. Again, we've talked about it many times, but income is the great misleader to our thought process of what our investment is. The risk of it. If we somehow think we're getting paid, and of course a classic example is, hey, I'll give you $10,000, you give me $1,000 a year back. Well, that's a 10% return. That's right. If you get all of your money back. If we get 10% per year for 5 years and then find out there's a problem and they only give us half our money back, what is our return? Well, it's zero. And that sometimes is a good outcome because a lot of times people get nothing back in these little black box investments. Be careful. Be careful. Income can be a great misleader. We can close our eyes when we focus only on income. Make sure it's sustainable. Make sure there's a margin of safety. Make sure you know what the risks are. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It is Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. It's time to ring up the phones. And we've been discussing today, how do you? We're discussing everything today. But how do you keep your mind focused on the longer term in a short-term focused world? How do you keep your head clear? Where do you get your financial information? We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place. This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO is our number. If you have any comments, questions during the week, hey, love to hear from you. Shoot those over to petsofinancial.com. Happy to try to answer any questions, but more importantly, we've got podcasts if you miss anything there. We've got little clips sometimes we take out and highlight for education purposes. But also you've got calculators and articles to help you with your own financial planning. So check it out. And right now, we've got several lines available at 580-KIDO. Let's go to Jim. Jim's back with us. What's going on, Jim?
Well, Dave, I wanted to tell you about a utility stock that I bought.
Okay.
And, you know, I told you why I bought Clovis Oncology, because I'm from Clovis, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Way to buy it. Anyway, the very first stock I bought was T&M Resources. This is in March 08. We know what happened around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him mentioned on the PBS Business Hour.
Oh, yeah.
And at the time, you know, they were hooplaing it, and it was paying like 7.9%. Well, by any standards, that's rather high.
Yes.
So right as I bought it, they cut their dividend in half, mm-hmm. but they were still paying 3.95%. Okay, after 2.25 years, they increased their dividend 16%. Then after another year, 13.8%. Then 3/4 of a year, 12.1%. So now they're paying 5.84%. Now, assuming that the board of directors aren't completely blithering idiots, you know.
That's a wild assumption you're making there.
Well, I hope they're not putting the cart before the horse there, you know, getting ahead of themselves.
Well, Jim, what you can do, it's a fairly easy calculation. They just simply look and see what their earnings per share are versus what they're paying out. Okay, I would check that and make sure that they are retaining, and I assume you're right. Now, what's P&M Resources? That sounds like that doesn't sound like a utility. It sounds more like an oil company.
It's under utilities, and they're located in New Mexico and part of Texas.
Gotcha.
And I really don't know. I know what the NM must stand for, but the P, I don't know. So I don't know, but apparently they're down in the Southwest.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
So I don't exactly know, but you know. They've been hanging in there for at least, 7 years at least.
Well, sure that you've owned them, and I'm sure they've been around longer than that. But yes.
But anyway.
Yep.
So
no, there's obviously going to be, there's definitely winners in there. There's no doubt about that. There always are. And if you catch them on a decline, you're always going to do well. I mean, you know, obviously in 2008 when you bought it, right, obviously they cut the dividend. But, hey, everybody's recovering a lot since then.
But again, like, for instance, I mean, I could afford, so to speak, to have them cut the dividend. I mean, you know, even if they cut it a little bit, it's still a high dividend, so, you know, I'm not going to sweat it, so.
Right. Well, oftentimes, that's an interesting point, though. Oftentimes, if you have a company that has cut its dividend, but things are solid otherwise, that can often be mark the low for that company. The recovery can and often does come after that as they retain cash and pay back some of their debt that caused them to cut their dividend.
Well, that can also, you know, represent responsibility. I told you about B&G Foods, which apparently is paying dividend out of capital, you know.
Right.
So to cut the dividend would be a good thing.
It would be, exactly. That's exactly right. And many companies are paying out of capital, and that's no good at all.
Nope.
No good at all. All right.
Anyway, take care and
thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Have a good day. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I've got a little over on the education segment, so let's go ahead and cut this one short and get right to Fox News, which basically we're right back on time. When we come back, it's 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks again for joining us. 580-5436 is our number. Hey, all our lines are available. I know everybody's out running around, and a lot of people have literally left the valley up to the mountains and things like that. I always think that's crazy, but because the weather is so nice, relatively speaking, this time of year here. But, hey, that's what happens, and that is really why we'd love to hear from you. And if you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. But our number here is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We've been kind of on this Memorial Day. We've been going back to the future, if you will, back to look at the past, and even to the point of going back to horrific wars and talking about that and talking about how we get through that. But then we put this just this little tag with it, right? We just this little, oh, yeah, it must have been really hard back then. But. And then we have this emotional attachment to, of course, to the problems that haven't been solved yet. So we have a greater fear for the unknown, of course, even though realistically, if you were to take a step back, there's nothing going on out there now that compares to world wars, to a Cuban Missile Crisis. Nothing. But we fuss and fuss and fuss, and we are so smart. We're clever by half, as the Brits say. We outfox ourselves constantly because we think we're so smart. And now we have data times 10, and we don't know how to deal with it. I do. I really do know how to deal with it. I do. We go back. We look at stuff like this. We stop and we go, hey, how many times have we lost money over a 10-year investment period? Because I know the market's been high at various times. So if we invested when it was really high and then we went through one of multiple big bear markets, or we went through a war, or we went through super high inflation, or we went through a, come on, like a zombie president like Carter, or right before him, Nixon? You have people that try like wage and price control. There's a good idea. There's a great idea. Let's repeal all of the great capitalist rules. Right? And we look at that and we go, oh, well, so over 10-year periods, this particular fund, and I'm not going to say which one, because I have all the disclosures, okay, has never lost money. Not one time. So when should you invest? Well, I guess now. But these are the things that why is this important to know? Because if we don't do that, how do we sustain through the noise? We've got to go back and look and look at the big charts and all the problems and contemplate it. Not just this Memorial Day, all the time. To understand that when you miss the best days of the market, you miss it. They're gone. All the gains are gone. They're gone. The markets move fast sometimes, and they move fast on the upside. Coming out of the 2008 debacle, the beginning of 2009, think of this. The market moved 45% in 90 days up. And the economic news, for those of you that are clever by half, kept getting worse. By a lot worse. Unemployment kept rising and rising and rising and rising. And don't worry, the most important thing is not to fix the economy. It's to tax the economy with Obamacare, because that is the priority. Well, that is anti-business, whether you like Obamacare or you don't. That's anti-business. That's not the right focus, and that's what we did. And the market went up 45% in 90 days. That's what it does. It doesn't wait for good news to let it sink into everybody out there and then rock. It's a forward-looking mechanism. What do? We look at these. We reflect. We pause. We read. Let's do an email, shall we? Dave, a friend and son-in-law, has recommended Ben Graham's book, The Intelligent Investor. Are you familiar with the book, and what is your take on it? Thank you, Jim. And thank you, Jim, for the email. And by the way, that email is dave@petsofinancial.net. This is perfect. It's perfect. It's a great book. Are you going to be riveted to your seat? No. It's the same thing. Last night, for some reason, I woke up, you know, I was like, I couldn't go back to sleep for some reason. So what did I do? I reached over and I grabbed this book that talks about little business stories. Okay? Business stories. You know, stuff. Right now I'm reading this long chapter on the Edsel, the downfall of the Edsel, right? So it's just different stuff. I think the one before that, if I remember right, was about some market crash in the 1960s. I didn't even know about that. I didn't know there was anything there in the early 60s, a little market pullback. It was like out of the blue, right? The market just suddenly like was caved in. A flash crash back then without computers? Hey, yes, markets are volatile at times. Reading that, and so let me take it a step further. I think that is a fantastic basic book. It helps center thinking on buying bargains, thinking long term. It is really the book, right? And Ben Graham is the one that really taught so many people. He's so widely quoted. But Warren Buffett is, of course, the most famous person that talks about this and Ben Graham's principles. So, yes, fantastic book. Okay, so that leads to, well, what else? How about John Templeton Anything? John Templeton Anything. Great wisdom. Even if his quotes are phenomenal. Just his thinking is unique, different, timeless. Thought-provoking. Really good stuff. I wouldn't call them great books, but the wisdom that he has is tremendous. And so anything he wrote several in his life. One Up on Wall Street by Peter Lynch. I still think that's just a really great book. I was talking with Kathy Young at our office, as somebody I've known in our office, and Kathy's done the program a few times. And Kathy and I were talking, we just mentioned that this past week, so it's kind of fresh in my mind. Peter Lynch's One Up on Wall Street. It's a real good book as well. Now, one of the commonalities here you're going to find is that this is long-term thinking. All of them are. All of them are. I can't think of one book on short-term numerology, as I call it, that I can't even think of it. I don't know one. I don't know a timeless numerology book. I know they call them technicians, but I think of them as numerologists, you know, palm readers, whatever. Because the great investors buy businesses. They think of the companies they buy, the stocks, as not ticker symbols, but pieces of businesses. You don't buy a business and try to flip it. You don't buy a business and wonder if it's up or down in value next week. So, Jim, thank you very much. Appreciate that. And there's a couple of additional books that make sense to me. And if you all have some recommendations of books or things that, you know, different money managers, Warren Buffett, you can read any of his stuff, too, I think is interesting. And actually, one of the great things is, particularly if you haven't done this, are some of the reflective things that he and Munson, Charlie, have talked about at their Berkshire Hathaway annual meetings, and that's all available at berkshirehathaway.com. You can go back and look at those. Tremendous examples and great wisdom about, you know, comparing investing to buying a farm. You don't flip farms. You don't buy a farm and then, oh, my gosh, you know, I think we better sell it tomorrow. I don't know, you know, and then go back into farming. Nobody does that. Nobody. Nobody buys an apartment complex and thinks I'm going to flip it tomorrow. But we do that with stocks or great businesses? It makes no sense. And there's great examples to that in there as well. So, anyway, thanks for the email. And that's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. We have to take a break here. And when we come back, I do want and need your phone calls. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. It's Money Matters with Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Come on. That's your cue. We got plenty of time left in today's program to take your calls, questions, comments. Love to hear from you on this nice Memorial Day weekend. We have been talking about and reflecting, which I think is appropriate on a Memorial Day, right? I think we should all reflect. And it's something that, for me, centers my thought process of how to take all of the noise, all of the screaming and yelling to do something now, move money now, and all the fear mongers that there are out there. There are so many fear mongers, whether it's a market, imminent market crash, whether it's the blood moons in the Shimadas or whatever it is, and all this nonsense. Last year it was the House Bill 24, whatever it was, that's going to cause the end of the U.S. dollar. Whether it's the fear mongers on the Japanese taking over a couple of decades ago, oops, I guess they didn't, or it's the Chinese owning all of our debt, and now the same people are pulling their hair out, their hair's on fire about China falling apart. What is it? Are they taking over? Are they falling apart? You never have to be accountable if you're a doomsdayer, ever. You just go on to the next doomsday advice. The accountability only comes when you pull out a big chart and you say, it's going to be okay. And then we go into a normal bear market. Then those people are morons. But it's okay for 20 or 30 or 40 years to scream and yell in the wilderness about the end of time. And you're actually still quoted and read. The great investors are optimists. They always have been. The only realism is optimism. It's a fact. Things do work out. They tend to. And then the reality is we all die. And that creates a great deal of uncertainty. Our health, or the uncertainty of health, the uncertainty of relationships, the uncertainty of life. So how can I bring certainty to my investments? You can't, because all investing is about the future. How can I have a growing stream of income when I don't know how long I'm going to live? Well, you can. That's what history says, but nobody can guarantee that. But you can, for example, listen to this station in a couple hours from now. They'll tell you, you can have stock market returns with no risk. Or like you're going to get a 15% return. Or do I hear 20, 25? Maybe it's 25% return the first year. Guaranteed. Can you? Do you believe that? I don't have time today to go into that. I don't. We've gone into it before. But I don't really have to, do I? Do I really have to? I felt like I have at times had to really talk about it in detail, why it wasn't true. And we've done that. And I'm happy to do it again sometime. And we will, undoubtedly, because I get questions periodically. But the key thing is really this, isn't it? You know. And why we listen to this, I don't know. That part is puzzling to me. even though I do understand our great desire, our great internal soul wants a guarantee, wants security of some kind in a, such an uncertain world. We do. We want that so, so bad. But you can't have that because the future is uncertain. And that's really the bottom line. But for me, we keep, as we've been talking, we just go back. You go back, you look, you think about, you contemplate what has happened in the past. Because some of those things are really, really big. Bigger than blood moons. Bigger than a Federal Reserve debt. Bigger than ISIS were the Nazis, were the Japanese, were the Soviet Union. You know, it is. And it's important to reflect on those things. I do think it's important to reflect. Our last break's two or three? Two, thank you. I think it's so important for us to take time to reflect. Not just on the markets, but this is a Memorial Day where you just kind of reflect on how blessed we are because people died. And when we don't do that and we just take it for granted, I think it does something to us. So it is important, even though the people are past, for us to reflect on what people gave. And how we have so much, and we can literally hope, I hope, that we can spread that a little bit, right? That people can stop feeling sorry for themselves so much because something in their life is a perceived something. That it's an opportunity with this reflection that people gave everything to stop and to say, I need to forgive somebody, something. I got to let that go. Not for them, for me. I have to let that go. Why am I walking around trying to figure out when the world is coming to an end instead of living my life? Why am I worrying about the Federal Reserve so much and all these other things? Why do I do that? Why do I live in fear? Live forward. And let's remember all those sacrifices. Have a great week.
Professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petzo Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. These are the opinions of Dave Petzo and are based on information from sources believed to be reliable but may change as information changes or becomes outdated. Nor should any opinion contained herein be construed or considered as a solicitation to buy or sell any particular investment product. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Asset allocation and diversification strategies cannot fully guarantee against loss. The past performance does not guarantee future results.